Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined this Friday afternoon by William Walter. How you doing, Will? How you doing on this Friday?
What is up, party people? I'm doing lovely. It's Friday. How can I not be doing well?
Yeah, man, it is Friday. There's many different indications, but I know that it's Friday well. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media's network of radio stations here in the state of Wisconsin, broadcasting from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side for Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM, also on the Shaw in Waukesha, WAUK 540 AM, Oshkosh Air Support in Oshkosh, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, Lake Air in Amory, Wisconsin, and radio from the center in Richland Center. If you want to share a tangent with us before the weekend, get something off your mind or off your chest, 844-967-2789. You can call or text that number. And Will,
are you superstitious, Luke? I gotta cut you off and ask you real quick, because you did confirm to me that it was Friday, which I was aware it was Friday, but I was doubting myself a little bit. You know, I've been gaslighting myself over the years. So I checked my phone, and it is, in fact, Friday the 13th. Are you a big superstition guy?
I'm a little stitious, as one Michael Scott likes to say. I'm not superstitious.
I'm just a little stitious.
Yeah, like, I believe that coincidence happens a little bit more frequently than you would think sometimes, and that maybe that's just happenstance, maybe that's just a little stitious. But I don't know. What about you? Are you superstitious?
No. I mean, as a child, I was almost like weirdly superstitious in that I had a kind of unhealthy relationship with like karma. And I was always thinking like, yeah, you know, if you do these good things, karma will come back to and reward you as such. But particularly with sports, I think you see a lot of the more superstitious aspects of someone's personality come out. Baseball is famous for that. Yeah. I played a lot of baseball growing up, sitting around watching the Packers when you're 7, 8, 9 years old. And you're trying to, I don't want to say pray, but you know, you got your fingers crossed and all that kind of stuff that it turns out well. And then as you grow older, you're like, oh boy, that was embarrassing.
I don't think it's embarrassing. I think a little superstition is an okay thing. I think that's fine to have a little superstition. I think to like make it a portion of your personality, that takes it a little bit too far. If you're like constantly doing things because of quote unquote superstition,
would that fall under the umbrella of like, oh, I'm loud because I'm a Sagittarius, or is that
no, that's just focusing your personality around the stars and solar system or whatever, and that I think is even weirder than making
that's where Luke draws the line.
Oh, that's well beyond the line. But I mean, I'm a creature of habit, and I don't know if it's a superstitious thing, but I just like to I form habits, and I stick to those habits. I stick to routines, and maybe that's superstition, I guess. I don't.
No. That's totally different. That's actually one of my favorite books of all time. Charles Duhigg, I believe it was, The Power of Habit. And essentially, and this is speaking from my history with the fitness industry, is all humans are creatures of repetition, right? We like to build our habits. We like to build our routines. It lets your brain kind of shut off and just focus on your body being able to do and repeat the actions that it's already comfortable doing, you know, backing out of your driveway or something. When was the last time you had to sit there and hard focus and think about, okay, shift into reverse, and then I pull back a little bit? Like, once you get into that routine, it becomes easy. And all humans are lazy. I don't want to hear otherwise. Like, the brain wants to make it as easy on itself as possible. From a fitness perspective, this is what I used to always tell clients was 21 days. That's all it takes. Give me 21 days of coming into the gym for 45 minutes, an hour, getting a good workout in. You'll go home and eventually you'll get to a point where you feel bad if you don't work out that day. And that's when you've made it. That's when you've built the habit. That's when it's part of your routine. And that applies to everything, Luke. Absolutely everything. We're creatures of repetition.
Well, yeah, I definitely identify as one of those. And I think superstition can work in there, though, because you the belief that you have to do the same habits over and over again the way that you do them can lead to a little bit of a superstitious persona around that. But, you know, Will, one habit that Republicans here have in Wisconsin, if you want to be able to boil down to any kind of North Star, the what drives their habits, where they go, it's pretty much whatever is good for the state, they like to go in the other direction. They kind of see that and they run away from it. Because yesterday, there was an awful vote by the Republican-led Joint Committee for, I don't want to get the committee's name wrong, so I'm going to, the Joint Committee for Review of Administrative Rules. Now, it's a very complex name, kind of in the weeds of how government operates here in the state of Wisconsin, Will. But this committee effectively sets administrative rules for the state, and it voted yesterday to unban conversion therapy in the state of Wisconsin.
6-4 on party lines.
Yes. And conversion therapy, for those who are unaware, is the practice that had been around for a really long time. You kind of got a simplified version of it when people say pray the gay away. That boils it down to what conversion therapy was. It was a pseudoscience that allowed people disguised as a medical or religious body to say, well, we can convert these individuals who believe, or who they think they are, this is what the terrible practice thought, that if somebody was gay, they can be converted back to straight. And it's a
convinced, I believe, was the term they used. They can be convinced to become straight again.
And that's just an asinine belief.
That's grotesque. It's so backwards.
Yes. And in some point, At some point, it's very cruel as well. And so this practice has been banned. Local municipalities, recent, I believe Eau Claire was one of the most recent cities in Wisconsin to ban it at the local level. But the Joint Committee for Review of Administrative Rules voted 6-4 to suspend the rule again, with all Republican members voting for the suspension and all Democrats voting against. And this is a piece written up over at the Wisconsin Examiner. Republican-led committee votes to allow anti-gay conversion therapy practices, written up by Baylor Spears in yesterday's Wisconsin Examiner. Or excuse me, in today. Earlier today in
today,
the Wisconsin Examiner.
Friday the 13th. That 13 sticks out like a sore thumb, Luke. You got me a little stitious over here now.
So the Marriage and Family Therapy Professional Counseling and Social Work Examining Board, which is responsible for creating a code of ethics to govern the professional conduct of certificate holders and licensees, first established the rule in 2020 on the grounds that the practice constitutes unprofessional conduct. Republicans opposed the rule in 2021, proposing a bill in the Senate and Assembly, but then sending it to committee where it was never taken up. The bill, if passed through the legislature, would have likely been vetoed by Democratic Governor Tony Evers. Bills not acted on by the end of the session die, and the rule barring conversion therapy went back into effect on December 1st, 2022. However, the Joint Committee for Review and Administrative Rules voted yesterday to suspend it. So, you know how we talk about on this show pretty often, Will, that the Republican legislature during the Evers administration has just chose not to act, has just packed up shop last year in the calendar year of 2022. They stopped holding legislative sessions in the first week of March. In the previous even number calendar year, in 2020, they stopped doing any legislative sessions in the first week of April. A little bit more work than 2022, but not by much.
Yeah, if anybody's hiring at $55,000 a year and offering 9-month vacations, give me a holler, because I love, love, love Dueling Tangents, but that sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's kind of nice work if you can get it. But so because they didn't even pass this bill, they held up the process of the ban on conversion therapy from being instituted by trying to pass this bill that they didn't actually even pass. They didn't have the votes to send it on the floor during an election year. In the very, very short window that they did any legislative proposals last year. Because again, they closed up shop in the first week of March. But the way that the rules process goes, they had to try to do something. They had to show some kind of work for this process to underway. And then yesterday, because of their do nothing, this ban went back into place at the beginning of December. And now yesterday they voted to overturn that ban again. So unbanning conversion therapy in the state of Wisconsin because they don't have the votes. They can't compromise with the Evers administration. This isn't something that the Evers administration, I think, would compromise on. I don't think that there is
this
ground.
Isn't somebody, a rational human being that has any sense of empathy towards
there should
their
be
fellow
no
Wisconsinites
ground.
Would,
there should yeah. be no ground for compromise on conversion therapy. It should be a banned practice.
It's frankly, it's barbaric. You know, we talk about how it's 2023. I almost said 2022 again. It's 2023 now, and the Wisconsin GOP is still living in like the 1740s. Like, what is going on here?
Well,
and it's not just here. We see this with abortion as well.
I was going to say, they take their stance on women's reproductive health care from 1849. That's the year that they default to on that. And so it's not out of the realm for them to have very archaic beliefs on these issues.
Is that what they mean when they say make America great again? Is it's going back to the 1840s, not the 1940s?
I can't really get in the head of people that use that phrase because I don't use it, Will. I don't use it myself. So I have a hard time occupying that headspace for somebody that would Fair. Use that phrase. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents, joined by William Walter on this Friday afternoon. We've got a couple of other headlines we're going to get to, as well as your phone calls, 844-967-2789. Stay tuned to Dueling Tangents. We'll be back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents, joined on this Friday afternoon by William Walter. I'm Luke Mathers. We're gonna head over to the phone lines, Will, because we got Hawk here in Madison wanting to call in and give his two cents. Hawk, what's on your mind on this Friday afternoon?
What's up, you guys? Hey, so Will, I was gonna say the fact that you even thought about karma as a kid. I would think reflects well on your parents. Your parents must have done a pretty decent job for you to even think about karma, whether it worked out for you or not, by the way. So, you know, I wish more kids thought about karma. Anyway, and then about the bill, the Republican. Listen, if you ask most Republicans top 25 to 50 things on their agenda, what they want done, this conversion thing isn't even in their purview. It's just not. And Republicans have a long history, elected Republicans have a long history of doing things that are dog whistles, doing things out of fear and hate, and not out of kind of anything positive. It's what they run their party on is fear and fear and fear and fear. And it's the same people that look at the Bible and pick all the nasty verses versus all the good verses, which there are plenty of, okay, to live their life by. But that's not why I call. That's not why I call. My kind of tangent, by the way, my tangent in my Friday grievance is, and I got to give the woman credit, I saw it on TikTok. I'm not worried about the Chinese spying on me. This woman mentioned this, and it's true. Everybody listening, what's the name of the player that got hurt in the NFL game? Most people probably know that, right? What's his number? What team does he play for? Now, he plays a very violent game. Those kind of things happen. Maybe not like that. That was tragic. But now the second question is, do you know the name of the teacher that got shot by a six-year-old? Do you know where she lives? What city she teaches in? What high school she teaches for? And that can tell you the sadness that our society's in, that, like, we know about this NFL player, but we don't know a thing about this teacher who got shot by a six-year-old. And so, I don't know. I just think more attention needs to be paid to, like, those kinds of things and less on, you know. Anyway, that's my rant.
That's all right, Hawk. We appreciate that. I
think there's a number of interesting points there, Luke. In particular, when Hawk mentioned how so much of the Republican agenda is just dog whistles, I immediately was thinking Bread and Circus. And then I was thinking, you know, Roman gladiators and sports, how a lot of that is kind of used to keep the population interested in things that ultimately don't really matter. Like, who wins the Super Bowl this year is not going to change the material conditions of the vast majority of Americans' lives. But rules and regulations that are passed at the federal level or at the state level will. That will directly impact your day-to-day life. So a lot of what's going on here is just kind of purposely keeping people infatuated with stuff that doesn't really matter on the grand scheme of things. And, you know, Hawk then brought it back around to the sports world and how professional athletes really kind of are just the gladiators of today, who are throwing their bodies on the line so that everybody can know who they are and know their suffering and sacrifice. But do you know who, you know, in this example, the teacher, the name of the teacher that was shot? Do you know the name of your own elected representative? I'd be willing to bet like 75% of Americans could not name their assemblyman or assembly person at the state level. And I've been, you know, I've been door knocking on these past few years as an organizer. It might even be higher than that.
Yeah, it is. The level of disengagement on issues like that is tremendously high, and it shouldn't be. We appreciate your phone call, Hawk. You can be like Hawk, 844-967-2789. And sometimes when you are trying to pay attention to these issues going on in the state house, there are actors that, in what I will boil down to time and time again, is bad faith. Because they say these talking points. This case in particular, what happened yesterday with this joint committee for for the rulemaking process up at the state capitol. And you pointed out a very interesting quote, Will, so I'll let you share it with the people, from State Representative Adam Nealon.
Yes, so Adam said, and I quote, "We're not here specifically to discuss the merits of any conversion therapy or any other type of therapy. We believe that is a question for the legislature, as it is public policy and deals with speech issues." That's hilarious, because to defer back to what you said, the legislature didn't work for 10 months last year. Or 9 months last year, and 10 months the year before.
No, it was a better part of 10 months. They packed up shop the first week of March, and so for 9 months and 3 weeks, they didn't do any legislating last year. So for Representative Nealon to be like, well, it's we're not here to discuss the morality, the merits, anything like that around this practice.
They purposely stayed away from discussing the morality, maintaining that they should only discuss whether the board stepped beyond its authority in writing the rule. Nylund's quote went on to say, "The proper venue in terms of voicing your beliefs on the specific policy, that would be through the legislative process." Tell me, Luke, is that not Dan Kelly sitting there at that forum on Monday saying, "Oh, it's not about what you think is right or wrong. It's not about whether gerrymandering is right or wrong. It's about interpreting the law. That's my job." You're just punting responsibility. You're admitting that I don't care if the system is fundamentally faulty, because that's not my job. Oh, boo-hoo. You should elect better reps if you want to change that. Well, you can't elect better reps if the reps are choosing their voters rather than the voters choosing their reps. Like, am I wrong here?
Yeah, or having legislators being like, well, this is flawed because the proper channel to do this is through legislative action, where the legislature sits on their hands. They don't go to the governor and say, this is where we stand on these issues. This is where we'll meet you in the middle. We understand that it is divided government here in the state of Wisconsin, and to deliver for the citizens of Wisconsin, we're going to compromise. No, they pack up shop and they don't
do any
work.
They take their ball and go home.
Yes, it is beyond frustrating to hear a quote like that, because it is just bad faith.
Understanding too, Luke, the reason they went through the JCRAR instead of the legislative process was because they knew that Governor Evers would veto this barbaric bill. So they instead said, well, we have this unaccountable administrative reviews board. Yeah. We can get around the governor. We don't need his signature.
Folks, this is Dueling Tangents. The tangents will continue on the other side of this break. We'll be right back. Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined this Friday afternoon by William Walter. And Will, we're discussing a piece over at the Wisconsin Examiner, talking about a rules committee that took a vote to unban a different board's ruling to ban conversion therapy for licensed practices here in the state of Wisconsin. And it's a little convoluted. We're kind of in the weeds here a little bit. There's some nuances to this debate, but at the core of it is Republicans acting like, oh, well, this is just in our wheelhouse. We get to vote on whether or not this other board, we have oversight over this other board on what rules they can pass. And we don't want to discuss the merits of the particular rule that was covered in that we're trying to overturn. We're just saying it's in our legislative oversight capabilities to overturn such a rule. And so that's what Republicans want to say. But the core of this is whether or not conversion therapy is an acceptable practice in the year 2023. And I think a lot of Wisconsinites, if you talk to them about what this actually is, would tell you, yeah, that's not right. This is not a popular issue that Republicans can run on. This isn't something that is going to ignite their voters across the state of Wisconsin and build a broad coalition so that they can win and govern effectively, because they can't do that. The last two legislative sessions we've seen, they wrapped up shop in the beginning of the even number year because they don't have any good ideas. They don't want to debate any ideas because they don't have any good ideas.
They don't have ideas in general.
Have ideas. They're just really bad ideas, Will.
Well, I think the entire crux of their argument is, we don't think the government works, so we're going to prove it doesn't work by making it not work as we're the ones in charge, because they want to privatize everything. I mean, that's not new to the state GOP. That's to the Republican Party in general.
Yeah, it is just par for the course for them to try to say, well, elect us to run the government and we will show you that the government doesn't work because you're electing us to run the government. It is a self-fulfilling cycle, and this story over at the Wisconsin Examiner, I think, is just a nice microcosm of that exact thing, of that exact topic, because it is just insane. And this is reading from the piece over at the Wisconsin Examiner. Mark Hurston, executive director of the Wisconsin chapter of the National Association of Social Workers, argued that the regulation was within the board's authority to make because conversion therapy constitutes unprofessional conduct. He said the rule is necessary for protecting the mental health of children and lowering suicide rates among children. And that's what it boils down to, is allowing this board to regulate how the professionals do their jobs in the state of Wisconsin, and conversion therapy is not a practice that professional, it's not a professional practice. It is not. It is pseudoscience. And
hold on, I think did you see the quote from Mr. Hursted where he said child abuse, torture, major mental health and suicidal risk, unprofessional conduct, fake therapy. These are words you could use to describe conversion therapy. We talk about the hypocrisy all the time, Luke, but for a party that's so adamant that we're pro-life in every regard and we need to be protecting our children, well, the data shows that LGBTQ children have a much higher rate of suicide, particularly when they are not, when they don't feel welcomed in their home, when they feel like when their parents or when they feel like the system doesn't accept them for who they are and they either have to be changed or there's no other option. And then you see the Republicans turning around simultaneously and saying like, well, okay, if these people commit suicide, that's not our problem because what they're doing is inherently wrong anyways. Like I can't get over how hypocritical it is.
Yeah. Oh, but they will do hypocritical things all the time. But that, again, that's just par for the course because it also feeds into this next story, Will, that Republicans during the 2022 gubernatorial cycle just outright flatly denied that a flat tax was something that they would be pursuing if Republicans flipped the governor's office in 2022. If Tim Michaels won, it was preposterous to believe that he would pursue a flat tax, Will. It is asinine to tie Tim Michaels' campaign to a flat tax.
And I saw on Twitter, this is why nobody trusts the Democrats, because that's fake news and they're just liberal media.
Even the Democrats. They were chalking up because the Journal Sentinel did a write up on what a flat tax would mean for the state of Wisconsin as well, because Tim Michaels said that he was open to it. It was his own words saying that he was open to it. And then Republican campaign officials were like, no, that never happened. They were gaslighting everybody leading up to the election because they realized how unpopular a flat tax would be. But not 13 days into the new year, the Republican majority leader of the state Senate is proposing a flat tax. Well, weird.
They were like, we don't need the governor. Psych, we're going to do it on our own.
I mean, they're going to pursue it on their own, but it's going to get vetoed. This isn't going to happen. They don't have a legislative override of a veto. They don't have those votes. Not in the state Senate, not in the state assembly. So
at least not yet with the state Senate. We got to be focusing on some of these upcoming races, but that's a different story, Luke.
That is a story for another day, but because Alberta Darling retired back on, I believe, December 1st.
December 1, yep.
Yeah, December 1st. There is no longer a supermajority as of right now in the state Senate. That may change with the results of the special election for the 8th Senate District. But right now, Republicans can't override a veto. If they tried to pass a flat tax, it would not succeed. It would not be signed into law by Governor Tony Evers, Democratic Governor Tony Evers. But it is insane to me that they vehemently denied that a flat tax was a proposal that Republicans would like to pursue in 2023 and beyond here in the state of Wisconsin. And 13 days in, they didn't get the governor that they wanted. The Republicans would have loved the rubber stamp of Tim Michaels. Tim Michaels would have been a rubber stamp on everything Devin and Voss wanted to do. And they did not get that. And still, 13 days into 2023, Devin LeMayhew is proposing a flat tax of 3.25% for the state of Wisconsin. What are your thoughts on this, Will? We know it's not going to pass, so why do you think Devin's floating this one out there still?
Oh, first of all, I'm imagining one of those like cartoon castles way off in the distance, and there's, you know, a massive thunder and lightning going around, and it's spooky sounds and kind of like something you'd see in Scooby-Doo. And then they pan to the inside of the castle, and it's LeMayhew and Voss and all the GOP operatives sitting in a circle, and they've calculated out exactly how many days it's going to take for the average Wisconsinite's memory to forget that they denied that they wanted to push a flat tax. And they were like, okay, we have blah, 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 blah. On January 13th, exactly, we'll be able to do it again. Let's jump in on this. And they're all in agreement. And I'm going to echo a phrase that you've used multiple times throughout today's show is par for the course. I expect nothing less from them. I don't expect them to stick to their word. I don't expect them to actually attempt to govern. What I do expect them to do is try to cut taxes, primarily for the wealthiest Wisconsinites, and otherwise attempt to prevent the government from providing the kind of social services that once residents received them and recognized, oh, wait a minute, the government can do good for us, Republicans would never win another election ever again. So we have this, $6.6 billion budget surplus.
And Devin LeMahieu wants to blow all of that on moving us to a flat tax.
Exactly. It shouldn't be surprising that rather than giving it back to the people through community initiatives or something that we all use, infrastructure, roads, whatever, our school system, whatever it might be, he would rather just cut taxes for the wealthiest Wisconsinites. Surprise, surprise. Why? Because the more that the bigger the tax cuts he gets for his biggest donors, the more spare money they have to put right back into his campaign. Exactly like what Ron Johnson did for the U-Lines and Diane Hendricks.
Yeah, it is insane to believe that this is the policy that will address Wisconsin's problems right now. The young people like you and I, Will, we're of a younger age, but young people like us aren't not moving to Wisconsin because of the tax code. And that is State Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu's main argument, that we need to make the state's tax code more competitive. That's what a flat tax to him means. Not that it's a huge handout to the wealthiest Wisconsinites. Because that is what a flat tax actually is. Yes, the rate that they would put it at, 3.25%, would cut taxes for every Wisconsinite, which is what they want you to hear. But
that's the good
Yes, that's what they're doing it for. That is why they put it where they put it. Because, again, the empty suit that was Tim Michaels didn't even have a concrete point at where he would put the flat tax. He said he wouldn't raise taxes on anyone, or it'd be about 5%. And you can't have it both ways. You couldn't have it both ways. And it was either going to raise taxes on some people by making a 5% flat sales tax, or you raise taxes on nobody. You cut taxes for almost everybody and put it at around this rate. 3.25 to 3.5%, right around there, would be not raising taxes on anybody, but it blows a $1 billion hole every single year. We lose out on billions of dollars of revenue because the wealthiest Wisconsin taxpayers are making out like bandits, Will. You and I would see some nominal tax relief. We would. But the Ulines, the Hendricks, the Johnsons of the world would be the ones running away with the tax benefits of a flat tax, while the services provided by the state would be hollowed out. That is the Republican goal with this flat tax. They want to
kneecap. Did you see what Senator Agard said?
I did not see the Agard quote specifically, no. Please.
So she pointed out that the flat tax, when fully phased in, would cut taxes on those making more than $1 million by an average of $112,000. While creating a $5 billion shortfall in revenues for our state. And that's what happens when the current top income tax rate is about 7.65%. To cut that down to 3.25%, oh my gosh, we're talking millions and millions and millions of dollars for the wealthiest Wisconsinites year after year after year.
Yeah. Say goodbye to the UW system. Say goodbye to public schools. Say goodbye to good roads. Say goodbye to any of the services that we are able to provide right now as a state government, because the Republicans would do away with all of those to pay for this flat tax. There would be nothing else to pay for. Like that, it would blow a multi-billion dollar hole in the state budget every single year. And you wouldn't see it right away. The effects of this flat tax, because of that $6.6 billion surplus, Republicans could make it seem like it wasn't so bad right away, because they would use that surplus to cover the fiscal hole they would be blowing into the state coffers. But the effects would be felt by 2025, by 2026, when this was fully rolled out. It is an insane idea. And thank goodness for Democratic Governor Tony Evers' ability to veto this terrible, terrible idea. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents on a Friday afternoon, joined by William Walter, keeping me company here on these airwaves. You're listening across Civic Media, broadcasting from the Solidarity Realty Studios in Madison's Near West Side. If you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. Those phone lines are open. We got one more segment left in the day. Promise we're going to get to your phone calls. You can also follow the show online at Dueling Tangents on Twitter. Follow the network while you're at it as well, at Civic Media US on Facebook and Twitter. Dueling Tangents will be back for the final segment of the day when we get back. Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on this Friday afternoon by William Walter. You're listening across Civic Media, Madison, Devil Radio, the Shaw in Waukesha, Oshkosh Air Support in Oshkosh, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, Lake Air in Amory, Wisconsin, and Radio from the Center in Richland Center. If you want to learn more about what Civic Media is up to here in 2023, you're going to want to go to our website, because we've got some exciting and new details going on to celebrate our expanding radio network. And we're doing something big to celebrate with the $1 million advertising giveaway. It's your chance to work with our Civic Media sales team to create a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. You're going to want to save the application date. Those applications will open on Thursday, January 26th, beginning at 9 a.m. You'll find that application on Civic Media's website, civicmedia.us/million. That's civicmedia.us/million. Full details can be found there. There are some rules and restrictions, but you'll want to save that date, Thursday, January 26th, 9 a.m. Be sure to let the application know that Dueling Tangents sent you. That's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. But, Will, we're going to head back over to the phone lines. We got our friend Jack and Merrimack calling in. Jack, what's on your mind today?
Boy, where do I start? You know, hypocrisy is the name of the Republican Party. They just start out with them screaming about ethics in government, and then they hamstring the Ethics Committee in the House. And, of course, they're only in the majority in the House by a little bit, and only then because they have just gerrymandered the heck out of states like Wisconsin. Then going back down to the state government, I remember a few years ago when they gave back a bunch of money to the constituents in Wisconsin because there was a surplus, and they said, well, it's your money, so you should get it back. They sent checks to everybody.
Yeah, when Walker was running for re-election back in 2018.
You think that has anything to do with it, that he was running for re-election at the time?
Oh, it couldn't possibly be. No, just a coincidence. Anyway, so they're going to, this time, it's not your money, though, even though, for instance, over a dozen school districts had to float bonds just to open their doors this year, but they wouldn't rebate that money to, or wouldn't put it into school programs. Because, of course, Tony Evers would get credit for it, or at least some of the credit. I mean, these guys are just unbelievable. And now they're conversion therapy? Give me a break. This has been studied, too, for too long, and it's dangerous. And all it's doing is, again, they're stirring up this fear, anger, and hatred. One of the ads for your radio station says something like, whenever the Democrats are in power, the Republicans do everything they can to keep any progress from being made, and then they think that the voters are going to get boonswoggled and vote them in again. Well, apparently that works with the Republican voters, because that's what's happening.
Yeah, unfortunately, Jack, that strategy does work more often than not, and it is unfortunate because, in part, it's what led us to where we are today in the state of Wisconsin. Brian likes to talk about this point time and time again, that Republicans keep winning elections in the state of Wisconsin because Republican voters say, well, that's what I am. I'm a Republican. I'm going to vote for the Republican. And we need more individuals across the state to really have a conversation about the people that they're supporting and sending to local offices like the state assembly, the state senate, their school board, their county board, their city councils. And that's a big part in what we're doing here at Civic Media as well. Because for far too long, there has not been a platform that has expressed the views that here on Dueling Tangents, we have the freedom to express, that other excellent programs across this network also have the ability to discuss because of what Civic Media is doing. Not taking those far right talking points and the culture war and drumming up that fear and hatred that has been far too long seen as the status quo for talk radio. We really appreciate your phone call, Jack. We're glad that you take part and share your tangent with us on this Friday afternoon. Well, it is just, it's just insane. Between this vote for the conversion therapy, the flat tax proposal that is now coming out, when they swore flat tax wasn't going to be anything that they pursue, it's just, it's frustrating.
Think about it too, Luke, like my assembly rep, for example, has been touting for years now how fiscally responsible our conservative legislature is, and because of that, we have built up this massive surplus, which it is. The surplus is very nice. However, they're acting like, you know, it's the largest in the country. I believe Minnesota's surplus is more than double ours. And then they just want to turn around and use that surplus to immediately cut taxes on the ultra rich. But by arguing it's a tax cut for everyone, they get the people who aren't as well versed in politics and maybe only see one or two headlines every now and then to say, oh, Republicans are cutting my taxes again. Good. That's why I love the Republicans. They come back and vote for them. Bam. Rinse and repeat the cycle year after year after year. As soon as they think they're in trouble politically, oh, luckily we saved up all this extra money to give all of you a tax cut for our wealthiest individual donors. And then they just repeat the cycle.
But again, the reason why that surplus is there is because Governor Tony Evers did a terrific job throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, delivering aid to the different types of the economic factors that needed it. The Republicans didn't have a chance to allocate the federal funds that came through the American Rescue Plan, through the CARES Act, through all of these different federal incentives to bounce back from the COVID-19 pandemic. Evers invested more than any other governor in the nation for small business growth and entrepreneurship. Governor Tony Evers made sure that those businesses were still around after the pandemic to be able to contribute to the surplus that we now see. He made sure that the Department of Administration was collecting the taxes that were owed to the state. There were far too many people, it seems, under the Walker administration that just were skating state taxes. And so it is insane to believe that Republicans can just do this ploy and sit on it, not legislate since March of last year, and now try to cut the taxes for the wealthiest among us. Will, I really appreciate you joining me on this Friday afternoon. Glad that we could have
you. Always a party, Luke.
Always a party. Folks, if you missed any portion of this show, go check out the podcast. Dueling Tangents will be back on Monday afternoon at 2. We'll talk to you then. Have a great weekend, folks.